Welcome to the SMB Community Podcast with hosts Amy Babinchek, James Kernan, and Carl Polacek. Produced by Kernan Consulting and for the international MSP community, we are dedicated to making every IT professional a successful IT professional.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the next edition of the SMB Community Podcast with Amy Babinchek and good friend James Kernan. How are you doing, James?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Good morning, Amy. How's things in your world?
Things in my world are awesome because I'm starting to think about what I need to pack to go on a ski trip.
Good for you. Good for you.
How about you?
Well, I think I'm in the same boat. I head out of town this Thursday, and I'm going to do a little R&R as well, but I've got a busy couple days before I do that, so I think I'm focused more on my day-to-day. But yeah, I want to go down to Florida and get out of this cold weather here in the Midwest.
Nice. All right. Yeah, I'm going to colder weather. You're going to warmer weather.
Yeah.
That's all right. Hey, you know, right before we started this, James and I were talking about how our 2026 is really kicking off in high gear. We're both super busy. So that's awesome. I hope that you all listeners are super busy as well. And 2026 is shaping up to be a great year.
A great busy, like a pipeline building busy, you know, opportunity, right. You know, a lot of great opportunities in front of both Amy and I. So we hope you're in the same boat.
Yeah. So today's question of the week ties in a little bit to being busy. The question is, how much should I invest in training my team in 2026?
Well, that's an interesting question. You know what I normally hear is, you know, should I, not how much should I spend? That sounds like they've already made the decision to do it. Seems like half the MSPs I talk to aren't doing it already. And I feel like I need to talk them into it. So first of all, yeah. So high fives on already knowing you're going to invest in training. I think it's really important. This is something I think most of us forget, Amy, is we get access to some really good free online training through our strategic partners. And I think we need to just do a quick inventory of that. Look at who your top five strategic partners are or some of these up and coming security or cloud partnerships that you've got. Take a look at what trainings they have available and how they map to the strategic direction of your company. But I know when I ran my company and my one-on-one clients I work with, we typically would put together a training schedule for employees and expect them to do it every quarter. So we would look at the free classes first and then any paid ones that map to the strategic direction or rebates or things like that of importance to the organization. You know, like a Microsoft, for example, you need to make sure you put that in there as well. You know, and it's a lot of those trainings, in some cases you could get rebates back to cover the cost of those trainings. And then one last thing, I mean, this is a big topic, because some of these trainings get really expensive. If they cost you a lot of money and you're taking your engineers out of the field of them making you more money and you putting them through training and then you're paying training dollars on top of it, be careful with that, because then they're get these hot certifications and then they may go somewhere else. So I would put a training agreement in place also. So I think you should encourage them to go through trainings, but then if it costs you a lot of money to send someone through training on a key cert, then I would look at putting a training agreement in place. And it was always an awkward conversation. Nobody wants to sign something like that, but I'd say, look, you're an important employee. I'm going to spend $5,000 to put you through this training. I don't want you to ever think of leaving. Okay. We're going to get you more money. You're going to make more money here. You've got a bright future here, but in the event that you do leave in the next 12 months, the person who's hiring you is going to pay me back some or all of this money, that I'm paying to put you through this training. So, that worked pretty well, in most cases that I've seen that, and that might be an area where we differ, but I think it's really important, one, to put all your employees through trainings to make them better. And then the really expensive ones, I know a lot of people are afraid that their employees will leave. You want to make your environment a place where they never want to leave. You know, you need to pay them fairly and reward them for taking these trainings. But, yeah. There is a time and a place, I think, for these training agreements as well. So,
I think you hit upon the fear that so many business owners have. I'm going to train somebody and then they're going to leave.
Right.
I would honestly not be afraid of that. Most of the places they're going to go don't even offer training. Mm-hmm. And, I think a couple of weeks ago, we cited a statistic that, said that something like 60% of people will change jobs for a training opportunity.
Yeah.
They want to learn. They want those training opportunities. So, you can do the training agreement if it's something really expensive, but I would use it very, very rarely.
Sparingly. Yeah, I agree.
Very, very sparingly. How I implemented this in my business is we did training every other Tuesday evening together as a group. Mm. And it was written into their employment contract that we were going to get together Tuesdays from 4 to 7 and do training. And so they came, we trained, we ate dinner. It was both a bonding experience for the team as well as, learning. I also subscribed to a couple of self-paced learning things. So I subscribed to LinkedIn Learning, which has some great courses for your techs as well as business courses. And then I also subscribed to Pluralsight. Well, I had a hard time getting that one out. Pluralsight has some really great training courses as well. So it's not all about certification. It's about keeping up. I also, I do a continuing education program through Third Tier. We do it in Defender and Intune. So it's very reasonable to do these kinds of things, right? I just talked about those two that I subscribe to as a company. And whoever wanted to use them could use them at any time.
Yep.
And then the Defender one that I'm offering is $50 a month. And they come in and they get, an hour and a half of training every month. And then they get a newsletter in between to keep them up to date on all the changes that Microsoft is continuously pushing out. And what I tell people on this is when you go to hire someone, you're looking for the best trained people that you can find that are up on the latest technology. And then after you hire them, that's like a bad banana sitting on the counter, just dying, right? We don't want any old bananas on our team. We want everybody to be fresh and green and desirable. That's who we want on our team. So you do that through continuous training. I think continued education is extremely important.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's, as leaders in your business, that's the culture that you create. Those are great questions. Ask them about their when you're recruiting someone during the interviews, ask them what their thoughts are about continuing education. They all should be lifelong learners and want to continue to grow. It almost felt like, I've been consulting in the channel now for almost 20 years. It feels like it's a 50-50 where I'll interview employees of one of my clients and half of them love the idea of training. The other half of them are, oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm not a good test taker. And then there's a real fear and phobia about taking tests and failing and looking silly in front of the team. And we need to get through that. I was never a subscriber of that. But Amy, I love the idea of the group training. Yeah, I've been involved in some of those as well. That's a wonderful idea. Great bonding opportunity. And a lot of the open book tests. And why not do it that way? You can have a lot of fun with your coworkers.
All training's not about certification, right? It's just keeping up on the latest changes. And we have changes in our industry. You have to get your people to keep up. All right. I think we have beat that topic down. We're both obviously very passionate about it. So get your staff some training. Do however you're going to do it. The other thing that I would make my staff do is keeping up on technology changes is I would ask them what they're reading. And that's why James and I like to talk about some quick news articles. So let's do a rundown. CompTIA says that NinjaOne's growth is really highlighting a good signal for 2026. Mm-hmm. We'd like NinjaOne around here. Good company.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. I had the fortunate experience. It was about a year and a half ago. We had one of our mastermind events in Austin, Texas, in their office, in their headquarter office. So we got a firsthand view, met the executives, met the team, really cool facilities, got a custom tour from their CEO. He did the grand tour for us, and we got to ask lots of questions. But they're a great company. I love them. And I love the headline about, you know, really focusing on the optimism of their growth. You know, if there's anybody deserves it, it's them. You know, a lot of my clients use Ninja. So anyway, I'm happy about them. And, you know, it's a good article to see how they've really progressed and continue to take market share away from their competition year over year.
Right. Hey, here's a fun one. Walmart. Speaking of expansions, Walmart is expanding their drone delivery. They plan to deliver out from 150 stores starting 2026. So by the time 2027 gets here, 150 Walmart stores are going to be delivering to your house by drone.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. And then, you know, Amazon's doing that already as well.
Yep. They're flying around here. I've seen them. They're not coming to my house yet, but I know they're going to be soon because I've seen them about a mile away.
I'm curious what's next, you know, the hovercrafts, you know, the George Jetson mobiles, we're going to be flying around and not using the roads anymore, but I'm excited. I think that's cool technology. I'm a little concerned about the airspace, you know, how that's going to be monitored and managed.
Yeah. Well, they're licensed and, you know, the drones have to fly low. An airplane has to stay above 200 feet. So I don't know. I'm not a drone pilot. I don't know the actual rules, but I imagine that the drones are going to have to stay below 200 feet so that they're in their unique airspace. A drone pilot is an actual thing, you know, with the license and all of that. So, so, you know, some new different kinds of jobs being created here too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very cool. I love seeing that.
Right. 2025, we saw a lot of layoffs in the tech industry. What was it? 180,000. And we're kicking off January by an announcement from Kaseya that they're laying off 5% of their workforce. These layoffs don't seem to be economy related as much as they are restructuring for AI related.
Hmm.
People are dumping employees in favor of AI.
And they, you know, I think they laid off, 250 employees, and they just laid off a big chunk of their staff. They had a big layoff in Q4 last year. So interesting to see Kaseya trimming the fat around the belt.
Yeah, we're going to be watching these layoffs and see what actually happens with them in this year. Sinomi got appoints former ThreatLocker CRO Shane Deegan. This is your area. You know Shane.
Yeah, I know Shane personally. Shane's a great, great man, great leader. You know, he was in the right place at the right time. He was an early employee at ThreatLocker and helped them as their CRO. He was appointed CRO a couple years ago, but really helped fuel their growth and great move. You know, ThreatLocker is a behemoth. They're doing great, but probably wanted to make a change of pace. I don't know much about Sinomi. So I saw the LinkedIn article and the engagement on that social media post went through the roof that put Sinomi on the map. So good for those guys. Good hire.
Nice. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of interest in cybersecurity and Sinomi's in that space.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of security, CrowdStrike acquired SGNL, which I think they probably pronounce as Signal, for identity security. Mm. So CrowdStrike is going all in on identity security. And I think that's so smart. Their CEO had a quote in that article that said, adversaries don't break in, they log in. I don't know that he invented that quote. It's certainly something I've been saying, but not as succinctly as that. To me, identity security is the number one security that you should be concerned with.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're not, moving forward, it's just going to get more and more important for sure.
Right. They need to be able to log in as you in order to do whatever else it is that they want to do. So if you protect that, you protect everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So smart move by CrowdStrike. We're starting to see them make some smart moves and recover from the many blunders they had.
I was just thinking about that, and look at, you know, the amazing movement ever since that blunder. I honestly thought that was an incident they would not recover from. That was painful. They felt like the whole industry to our knees, and then now they're the golden child again. Their stock is doing well, so good for them.
Right. So Fortune magazine had an interesting article. 2025 jobs are working as if it's 2015. And that the gist of this article is that we're bringing AI into companies and we're handing people AI tools and say, hey, we want you to use this AI tool, right? And employees want to replace people with AI and they want to enhance people with AI, but we haven't actually told people how to plan their workday using AI, what the new work rules are going to be, how to verify the information that AI comes up with, how to document things. Like, we haven't done any of that. We're just throwing tools at people and saying, here, go make it up.
Yeah. Well, it dovetails right back to the question of the week, you know, about training your staff and the importance of that. And I see it, you know, it's hard. You know, the majority of our listeners are small MSPs, and you feel like you don't have the bandwidth or the resources to put a continuing education program in place. And it's harder than that. You know, I kind of break it down. You've got people, process, and tools, right? You want to train your people and you need to fine tune and further develop your processes around your new tools. And that takes even more time and energy. So it's kind of a double-headed challenge for the smaller companies and some bigger ones too.
Yeah.
But it's needed.
If anybody who is listening does not subscribe to the Technology Review by MIT, they're missing out. I honestly believe that everyone should subscribe to this thing. They do such a good job of explaining new technologies and really analyzing what's happening out there. They did their annual breakthrough technologies. So this is a prediction article. This is what they think the breakthroughs are going to be for 2026. And they've got 10 of them here, and quite a few of them are AI related. There's AI companions, and there's, you know, mechanical research and coding and stuff like that. And then fun stuff here. Oh, there's commercial space stations. So you're going to be going up in space and hanging out in your space hotel room.
That's cool.
Yeah. And of course, hyperscale data centers are in there. A lot of controversy around those, but they think it's a breakthrough technology. Mm. And then you get to vote for your 11th. What is the 11th breakthrough technology? So I'm going to quiz you, James. I'm going to make you pick one here.
Uh-oh.
They gave you four options. Reasoning models in AI.
Reasoning, okay.
Artificial wombs. Being able to create a baby outside of a human mother. Oh. Humanoid robots. We know Elon Musk is big on that one, and so are some firms in China.
Yep.
And uncrewed fighter jets. So fighter jet drones.
Yeah.
What one of those four amazing technologies do you think should be number 11 on the breakthrough?
Well, three stand out to me, but I would just say the human, the robots, you know, the humanoid robots. I would go to that path. Yep.
All right. I picked reasoning models.
Ooh, that was one I liked too. I really liked that one.
Yeah. You know, I feel like AI learning how to learn is super important. And I just read another article this morning that was talking about how the large language models exist and we know how we programmed them, but we don't actually know a lot about what happens after that, because this reasoning bit kicks in. And what's AI actually doing? So we actually now have researchers researching how the AIs that we created work, which is weird, right? Because you create it and it's the Frankenstein's monsters kind of deal.
Right.
All right. Last but not least, I wanted to make a note that LinkedIn has an article out there about the top 25 jobs listings for the past year, and they make some predictions based on that. A whole bunch of those are our field, our industry.
Yeah.
Including founders, which I was really happy to see, because I feel like for a while there we missed a whole generation of founding businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got founders are on their top list of jobs being created, and technology consultants.
Hmm.
We came in at number 7 of 25 of jobs being created. So, James, at the top of this podcast, we talked about how you and I are super, super busy.
Mm-hmm.
We are seeing that opportunity. We came in at number 7. And so we hope that you guys are all kicking off 2026 with a super busy year outlook, and that you have an awesome 2026. We will see you guys next week.
Thank you for tuning in to the SMB Community Podcast. If you found this interesting or fun, please subscribe, share with your friends, and give us a thumbs up on your favorite social media. We would love to hear from you, so reach out anytime on the website at smbcommunitypodcast.com.